and welcome to the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast here on DKPittsburghSports.com. I'm Chris Carter. He is not Dale Lolly because Dale isn't with us today. Dale had a big day. He was busy. I had a big day covering Pitt basketball. He got a tough win at Towson. We'll be covering that in the H2P podcast you can listen to on Sunday. But joining me is the man behind all the scenes at DKPittsburghSports.com, Jared Pruger. What's up, Jared? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I feel like I'm lost in this little dream world. I'm on the Steelers now. I just recorded a Pirates podcast. I got Penn State tomorrow. I'm a jack of all trades, master of none.
Watch out, man. Before they start putting you on 66 to 87, you might be doing some Yinzers too before it's too late.
I think I'm the wrong type for Yinzers, but I'll gladly listen to those girls talk whatever they want.
Absolutely. They're a great show. So check out all the great shows at DKPittsburghSports.com's podcasting platform. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all the places where podcasts are hosted for free. Now, let's get to the topic at hand, Jared. And it's the undeniable truth that the Steelers are facing right now. They're just too banged up. Like, you know, last week, I thought there was a great answer Cam Hayward said. And I believe Dale asked him this question. Dale asked Cam, he's like, how many injuries will it take before it's the tipping point? You guys always say next man up, next man up, next man up. But how many injuries will it take to be the tipping point for when it's just too much for you guys to overcome? And Cam Hayward said all 53. That is the ultimate Mr. Steeler, you're not going to get me to say the wrong thing answer. But Jared, the reality is eventually you're going to be so shorthanded. There's nothing you can do about it. It's the way the Steelers are training right now. If they manage to win this game with no TJ Watt, no Joe Hayden, no Minkah Fitzpatrick, no Kevin Dotson, they're missing so many guys. And this is still also with Tyson Alulu and Stephon Tuitt out. They're missing so many key players. If they pull this off somehow, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, if they pull this off, this is, I think, on the coaching staff and on Mike Tomlin specifically, getting his guys ready to go. Because, I mean, you're down potentially Ben Roethlisberger, who's the leader and the focal point of your offense.
We'll get to him in a bit, but yes.
You're down TJ Watt, one of the best defenders, if not the best defender in the league. You're down Joe Hayden. You're down Minkah Fitzpatrick. You're down so many guys, and I love what Hayward said, but it's what happens when – that's great if you have depth at certain positions.
Exactly.
But when you don't have that depth, man – all it takes is one injury, and they're one or two injuries away from this could be an absolute disaster.
I mean, that's the thing. And part of it's also their depth is gone. Like, going into this season, if you had asked me what are the two positions that they're the deepest at that they can afford a couple injuries in, it was defensive line and wide receiver. Well, last week we saw what that was like with Juju Smith-Schuster out for the season and Chase Claypool being hurt. They were down to using Ray McLeod for 14 targets in a game. That's how crazy that went. Then at defensive tackle, you still got Cam Hayward. Awesome. You love it. He's playing amazing. He's, you know, arguably the best defensive player in football right now. But then Stephon Tuitt still hasn't returned. Tyson Alulu down. Carlos Davis down, though. He is now back off of injured reserve. He is, I think, 21 days before the Steelers have to decide whether or not he'll be on the active roster and whether or not he'll play. But, you know, you're down three defensive linemen, and then all of a sudden you're playing Henry Mondo and you're playing, you know, Isaiah Loudermilk, who's also out for this game, by the way. So, like, another hit to their depth. They've been losing their depth. And, you know, I get that players can't think that way. They can't afford to. Their job is to say the standard is the standard. I'm going to uphold the level of competition, blah, 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 blah. We get that. That's what it's about. That's what you do as a player. But as an analyst, as a journalist, as a fan, when you look from the outside, you're like, man, that's just a lot to deal with. And that's the bottom line this year. And the Chargers are dealing with injuries too, not to say that they're not. But this is a lot for the Steelers team to have to go through, especially a Steelers team that we knew was going to have to rely on his defense. This is a year we knew whole new offensive line, lots of rookies starting, lots of guys filling in there. So the defense was going to have to carry the way. And now not only are you missing what you said, TJ Watt, maybe the best defensive player in the league right now, along with Aaron Donald, Cam Hayward, and the like of those guys, but you're also still missing Stephon Tuitt. You're also still missing Tyson Alulu. And now you're down Joe Hayden, which means your top cornerback's out. And now you're down the first team all pro for the last 2 years, Minkah Fitzpatrick at safety. Like eventually this adds up to serious problems it's just tough for any team to overcome. But there still are guys that you're excited to see. You're excited to see Trey Norwood play some safety, right, Jared? But the bottom line is at the end of the day, you know, these all teams have NFL players on them. All these teams got guys that are making a lot of money in the league. And when you're starting to resort to your backups, it's just that much harder for you to stand up to those teams that are healthy.
Right. And I mean, you played the game, you've been around the game. One of the favorite coaching saying is it's not about your ones and twos, it's about your threes and fours. Well, at certain positions, they're at their fives and sixes.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a guy like Taco Charlton who joins a team on the practice squad and then gets promoted to the active roster and is going to be playing significant minutes and significant snaps. And that's just the nature of the beast. I mean, the good news for the Steelers, I think, this week is that the Chargers are impacted by COVID and injuries as well. And, you know, if there's one silver lining, I think it's that. And it's, you know, it's one of those situations where they are impacted with Joey Bosa, Jerry Tillery, and Christian Covington, you know, along their defensive front. So that's a plus. Drew Tranquil is also on that list. So, you know, could they come back? Maybe, but at the same time, they're getting a little bit of a depleted Chargers defense, which is a good thing for that offense, because the offense is probably still going to have Mason Rudolph leading the charge.
Let's talk about that, because Ben Roethlisberger needs two negative tests by Sunday. That's the bottom line there, is that he has to, if he's going to be able to play, it's going to come down to that. We are not privy to the information as far as what tests he's had negative and this, that, and the third. Now, by the time you hear this podcast on Saturday, that might be out there. Someone might have broke that in Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter or someone, one of those guys with those kind of ins. But the bottom line is that this Ben Roethlisberger, he hasn't been able to practice with the team, you know, for a week and a half, you know, going on 2 weeks now. Mason Rudolph has practiced with the ones as the ones, and he's been kind of preparing for the reality that he might have to start for a second game in a row. But still, this is an offense that was never going to be predicated on the quarterback having to be a phenomenal player. This has always been an offense that said, hey, feed Najee Harris, get the ball to our receivers, let them make the plays after the catch. That's what you're designed to do. And don't turn the ball over. In all of the Steelers' five wins this season, Ben Roethlisberger did not throw a single interception. That's a huge factor here. If Mason Rudolph plays, it's got to be the same deal. Don't give away the game. Just play within the scheme. Let the plays come to you. Take what's there. When the play's open, do take the shot. But don't throw the risky, you know, try to fit it in between double coverage type of throws unless it's absolutely necessary in this one.
Yeah, the big thing for Mason Rudolph is just being Mason Rudolph. Just complete the passes, the high percentage passes.
Yes.
Feed Najee. Get your tight ends involved in the game early. And just play the game. Don't try to do too much. Let's be real. He gets a lot of reps with the ones no matter what.
He does every week.
Even with Roethlisberger healthy. That's just the way that it is. When Ben's a veteran, he's earned his time. You know, he's going to step in once he gets back and not really have missed a beat. But, you know, it looks like Chase Claypool, I think, is going to return on Sunday,
yes,
which is
he's back.
Huge, huge for them. That's going to be their number one receiver. But the key for me is you got to get those tight ends involved early and often. And that's something that they really didn't do against Detroit.
They did not. Pat Freiermuth didn't get targeted, I think, until like late in the second quarter. He had five catches on the day. And especially when you get down to the red zone. And I asked Najee Harris about this. I'm like, hey, what have you guys talked about how you're going to improve in the red zone? He looked at me and he said, run the ball. And I was like, oh, well, there's a message for you. But, you know, but when you got to the red zone last week, you had that possession where you had three passes.
Oh.
None of them went to Pat Freiermuth. None of them went to Najee Harris. And you didn't run the ball one time in that sequence. You convert on that for a touchdown in that game. In that sequence there, you probably win the game. And that's what the Steelers have to remind themselves, is getting back to the things that they're good at. That's one thing I wrote about for Carter's Classroom this week when talking about the short passing game. Matt Canada, he's trying to do things that are unconventional, that's trying to catch people off guard. I get that. That's difficult. That's a serious challenge, especially in an offense that, you know, you don't have the best quarterback situation right now. You don't have the best offensive line situation right now, but you've got these playmakers. Don't go away from those playmakers so much that you end up trying to be too cute, and then you have plays like that where you missed opportunities. Instead, lean on those guys. Let them. And there's times after you've leaned on them for so long, you know, that's the trick of the game, is trying to figure out when's the time to play off of that for the play action or the jet sweep reverse or, you know, the flea flicker or something crazy that's going to catch a team off guard. But you got to lean on those guys. I'm right with you, Jared.
Yeah, and let's be real. I think a lot of his game is east to west, and he was like that even at Pitt.
Yes, he was.
He was the OC there, which you saw extensively. So, I mean, and you're right. Don't get too cute, man. Cute is for puppies and babies, but not for football. Like, just play the game. Work north and south. Get the ball to Najee. I've seen a lot of really weird football. Like, I saw, you know, highlights from Penn State playing Illinois. You mentioned Pat Freiermuth, Penn State alum, and Penn State couldn't score from 2 yards out against Illinois in 9 overtimes.
Yeah, trust me.
And then you see,
depressing.
If you didn't want to spoon your eyes out, you know, that was just awful. And then you watch the Steelers are in the red zone inside the 5-yard line, and they don't get the ball to Najee Harris. And I don't get paid to make those decisions, but like, he's your dog. He is your guy down there.
Yeah.
Even just Mason Rudolph sneaking the football is going to get you yards. Why are you passing 3 times? Don't get too cute. Play the game and just work north and south and really just play your style of football. Ground and pound, hard nosed, and keep. I mean, Detroit was never going to win that game. Neither team, I thought, should have won that game. But stay within yourself and don't try to do too much, because when you do, when you get outside of that scheme, bad things happen.
I think we have the quote of the show right here. Cute is for babies and puppies, not for football. There you go. Straight from the mouth of Jared Pruger. We're going to take a quick break on the Lolly Cotter Steelers podcast. Be right back. We're going to give you our picks. We're going up against Jared this week. That'll be fun. We'll do that right after this break. Back here on the Lolly Cotter Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter here with Jared Pruger, who's filling in for Dale Lolly. We thank him for doing that. Remember, you can download this show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else where podcasts are hosted. Now, let's keep it rolling. Let's get right into our picks here. Now, Jared, we're going to start off with some interesting AFC action here. The 5-5 Colts at the 6-3 Bills. I'm going with the Bills. They've let me down a few times this year, but they look like they were back last week. The Colts, I don't know who they are. They're too inconsistent. I'm going with Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, both teams, I think, have been inconsistent at times. The Colts, you know, Jonathan Taylor's a stud.
He is.
But I just don't think they have enough firepower with the Bills. I'm taking the Bills as well. You know, Allen is great. Diggs is pretty good. And that defense is going to really step up, I think, and really thwart what the Colts have got to offer.
Right with you. Washington football team at 3-6 at the 5-5 Panthers. Cam Newton is back. And I'm betting on the Panthers. I think Cam Newton and them, there's some just revived energy in the building. There's going to be some stuff in Washington. Even though they beat the Buccaneers last week, huge upset for them, I think they're going to be riding a little too high on that, and the Panthers are going to knock them right off the horse.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's going to be a lot closer than people think. I mean, you look at the records, and the football team, I love saying that, the football team is 3-6, and the Panthers are 5-5. And they played really well with Cam Newton. And Cam, it's a homecoming for both teams, because Ron Rivera makes his return to Carolina.
Yeah.
And Cam Newton makes his return, too. It's his first time he's been back since he got cut. So I think it's going to be a great game. I'm going to go with the football team, because there doesn't seem to be a coach that really gets his guys fired up to play more for him than Ron Rivera does. And I think there's going to be just a lot of emotions for Cam Newton and the Panthers to overcome as well. And I think that's going to give the football team the edge in this game.
There you have it. Our first split right there. Ravens at 6-3 at the 3-6 Bears. I mean, come on, listen, the Ravens have had some clunkers. I mean, they sucked against the Dolphins last week. They're going to win this one. The Bears aren't that good.
Yeah. Even with Lamar Jackson taking half the week off, I think the Ravens are going to win that one pretty easily.
Yeah. Now here's another one. That's interesting. 0-8-1 Lions at the 5-5 Browns. I mean, I'm picking the Browns, obviously. The Browns, they need this win desperately. You know, they've struggled. And now Jared Goff's not even going to play. I think it's Nick Boyle who's going to be the quarterback, or Tim Boyle or someone like that. Some Boyle. If the Browns lose to some Boyle, it will be the biggest travesty. But there's no way that happens this week.
Some Boydie will be not happy in Cleveland, but that would be such a Browns thing, right?
Yeah,
if they lose to a nobody quarterback, I mean, the Lions.
And the Steelers tied them last week, and that was embarrassing for them. But I can see the total of the Browns. I mean, the Steelers, again, they beat the Browns. So now it's like, man, and now they get Nick Chubb back. That's big. But again, that's why I'm betting on the Browns. They can't lose this game. If they do, that team, that city is just going to crumble so fast.
They're going to crumble just like the Guardian sign did this afternoon or this morning when it was put up on Friday. You know, just gets put up and it falls down. Of course, good things don't happen in Cleveland, but I got the Browns too. I mean, you know, I like Dan Campbell. And I like the fact that he's starting to call plays and taking accountability offensively for them. But, I mean, they just don't have it against the Browns. And Baker Mayfield needs to play a good game.
Yeah. 4-5 Niners, 2-7 Jaguars. I mean, do we even need to spend time on this one? It's not even that important of a game. I'm just going with the Niners because, man, the Jaguars stink.
Yeah, it's not worth talking about Urban Meyer. This isn't a college football podcast.
Exactly. Urban Meyer, get out of here with that. 8-2 Packers at 4-5 Vikings. Listen, the Vikings have had some cool moments. They upset the Chargers last week. They ain't upsetting the Packers. That defense is for real, and Aaron Rodgers is back. I'm going with the Pack.
I got to go with the Pack, too. But the Vikings are an intriguing team because they're way better than their 4-5 record. And they're at home. But you can't bet against Aaron Rodgers. Potential future Steelers quarterback.
Oh, hey, don't you get started about that. That's another podcast, buddy. We got to save the content. Save the content for the offseason, man, when we don't got nothing else to talk about. Here comes a game that nobody should care about. The 3-7 Dolphins at the 2-7 Jets. I'm going to flip a coin here. It's heads. I'm going Dolphins. There we go.
I'm going to go with Jets just because, listen, Joe Flacco's back at it, man.
Oh, great.
But also, does it really matter?
Exactly. We didn't even need to pick. We just said, does it really matter? That's our pickup for that game. Now, here is an interesting game. 5-4 Saints struggling at the quarterback position with Jameis Winston out due to injury. 4-6 Eagles bounced back with a strong win last week. Jalen Hurts looks like he was figuring out. Devontae Smith looks like he's figuring out. He's going to line up with Marshawn Lattimore. I'm going with the Eagles at home. I think the Saints are struggling. They have a really good defense, but I think the Eagles will find some answers both on offense and defense that get them just over the top in this game.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles are starting to figure out. It seems like the NFC East is starting to figure out a little bit where they're gearing up to play some competent football, which is really outside the Cowboys not happened in that division yet this season. But I'm going with the Saints. I just think that they're going to be ready to play. They're going to be better adjusted to the situation at hand with quarterback. And you know what? Saints over Eagles all day.
Okay, there we go. 1-8 Texans at the 8-2 Titans. Come on. We're going with the Titans. There's no way. Listen,
Mike Vrabel versus the world, man.
Yeah, that ain't happening here.
He could be the entire Titans defense, and I think they'd still win the game.
Yeah, that's just going to be a rough one. Now, here are the interesting games. The 4 o'clock hour turns it up. 5-4 Bengals at 5-4 Raiders. Listen, the Bengals are coming off a bye. They had a really tough loss going into the bye. They fell off their horse when they thought that they were the stuff of the AFC. The Raiders were in the same kind of boat, but they've also been derailed by the John Gruden scandal, then the Henry Ruggs scandal, then the Damon Arnett scandal. Listen, man, the Raiders are struggling too much with off-the-field issues. I'm going to go with the Bengals off the bye.
See, I'm going to go with the Raiders. I think, you know, that's made them really, I think, a little bit closer of a team because they've dealt with so much stuff off the field. On the field, that's their happy place, right? That's the one place where it really kind of comes together. And I think I think Carr has been a really good leader for them throughout all of this. I got the Raiders just because I like chaos.
Absolutely. 7-2 Cowboys at 6-4 Chiefs. My game of the week right here. Cowboys have had some impressive showings, but, man, Patrick Mahomes looked like he was back last week. He threw 5 touchdowns. I'm going with the Chiefs.
Yeah, and the Cowboys got off to a hot start. So yeah, they did. I think this is a game that, you know, it's going to really come down to Dak versus Patrick Mahomes. And I like the Cowboys in this one.
Another split.
That's right. Listen, we can't always agree. What good is that?
We split most of the picks. I think you had Raiders. I had Bengals. You have Cowboys. I have Chiefs. You have Saints. I have Eagles. You have Jets. I have Dolphins. You have what was the other one? You have the Washington football team. I have the Panthers. Like, we're splitting on like half our picks right now. This never happens.
No, listen, man, I like it. This might be a one-time thing where I'm on the Lolly Carter podcast. So you know what? Might as well make the most of it.
There you go.
But the Cowboys are going to be worth without Amari Cooper, so Gallup's going to have to get involved. CeeDee Lamb, I think, is really coming on strong.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to feed Zeke. And can they do that? The Chiefs defense is very susceptible. This is probably the worst defense that they've had in quite some time in Kansas City. So let's see what happens. And, you know, I'm taking the Cowboys.
Okay, that's going to be interesting. 8-2 Cardinals at 3-6 Seahawks. Seahawks got shut out last week with Russell Wilson coming back with pins in his hands. Kyler Murray looks like he's back on track to return this week, but DeAndre Hopkins is out for the weekend. Still, I'm going Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm going Cardinals. I think James Conner is going to have a big game. And I'm just not into the Seahawks right now. I mean, yeah. I don't think Russell Wilson is problems. Super healthy. And Pete Carroll is too busy with throwing flip phones at referees.
That was falling out of his pocket.
Like, first of all, if there's ever a coach in the NFL, I think Bill Belichick would probably be the first one that would have a flip phone. But Pete Carroll's a close second. But yeah, I mean, the Cardinals are really good. They lost to Cam Newton and the Panthers last week. But I mean, I think that's just a minor setback.
Yeah, and they had some injury issues too that they were dealing with. But Monday Night Football, before we get to the Steelers game, 3-6 Giants at 6-3 Bucks. Listen. Bucks lost last week because Washington found a way to keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands for 10 minutes. The Giants are the bane of Tom Brady's existence, but he's going to execute that bane on Monday Night Football.
The good news for Tom Brady is that Eli Manning will be on the Manning cast.
There you go. So I wonder how many jokes he makes.
I don't listen. Have you listened to that?
I love it. It's great.
It's such a great way to listen to a football game because it's so different. It's loose. It's relaxed. It's like you're just kind of at a restaurant talking about the game. And Eli Manning is deceptively funny. Like, I did not think he had that much personality, but he and Peyton are very funny. And some of the guests they've had, you know, Marshawn Lynch is great. Even Tom Brady was insightful. And last week, Philip Rivers was really good, too. But I got the Bucks. I just don't think the Giants have enough, same. Even with Saquon Barkley being healthy. They got no chance.
Same here. All right, the big game everyone wants to know about: Steelers Chargers. Steelers at 5-3-1. Chargers at 5-4. God, I'm gonna hate to say three numbers to describe a record for the rest of the season. Yuck. Let's look at it this way: the Steelers, like we said, they're hurt up. The Chargers are a little hurt up. Jared, give me not only your pick to win, but your final score prediction.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, it's the team that has the most healthy players is gonna win this game, especially. But, you know, if you can come out alive, this is going to be, you know, one of those battles. I got the Steelers, and I got it 20-14.
Ooh, 20-14, low scoring. I have it low scoring as well. I have 23-17, but I have the Chargers. I just think with all the injuries, it's going to be a lot. Though, Jared, you might be onto something. The Steelers and the Chargers have – the away team has won, I think, dating back all the way to 2009. That was the last time that the home team won a matchup between these two. So it'll be very interesting. Steelers-Chargers, Sunday Night Football in L.A. Dale Lolly will be there for you, DK, PittsburghSports.com Nation. Thank you for listening to this podcast and the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast. Jared, thank you for joining me here. It's always great to have you on the show. We'll look forward to having you again sometime whenever Dale is too busy to be on with us, because he is a busy man. He runs all the different things. He does a lot of work around here, setting up all the live file and setting up the staff picks and getting the kickoff together. It's a tough job being the solo guy on the Steelers beat, but we thank him for doing that. Jared, thanks again for being on the show. I'm Chris Carter, your host here on the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast. And be sure to check us out. We're on DKPittsburghSports.com's podcasting platform, along with all the other great shows here on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere podcasts are hosted. Good luck to all the Steelers fans this weekend. We hope that you don't get too disappointed Sunday night. We'll be back in your ears with more on the DK PittsburghSports.com's podcasting platform.